Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our Bible study and our time of ministry in the Word of God. The Lord is so good. He is so gracious. He's so kind and merciful to us. And I am so thankful for this opportunity that He has given to us tonight to be able to come together again around the Word of God. There is such blessing in being consistent around God's word. There is such blessing, such an anointing that flows from regularly just being in the word of God, regularly just gathering around the word of God. You know, we read last week about that precious woman of God named Lydia in Acts chapter 16. The Bible told us there was a place where people went regularly to pray, regularly. And one of the people who went there regularly to pray was Lydia. And her regularly going to the place of prayer eventually gave her an esteemed place in the kingdom of God. Your consistency, your faithfulness, your being regular around the things of God, around the Word of God, your being there, being faithful, being reliable, being dependable around the things of God, around the Word of God, will eventually give you an esteemed place in the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen to that. Well, I'm really excited. Whatever platform you are joining us on tonight, thank you. Thank you. We have so much ground to cover. This is the last service that I'm hoping I'm going to devote to the PowerPoint of asking. We've been discussing the 7 most important PowerPoints in praying for yourself. And for several weeks now, we've been learning and studying together around the PowerPoint of asking. As simple as that word sounds, it's a singular word, but think about how many weeks, think about how many weeks we have actually devoted to going over and studying and learning about that principle, that precept in the Word of God. And the Word of God is so sweet, it's so powerful, it's so awesome, it's so amazing. I've just been so blessed listening to the teachings myself, receiving afresh all the time. Like I never heard those things before. They're so impacting. And I'm so thankful to God, to the Holy Spirit, for always teaching us and always helping us. Let's share a word of prayer and get going tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so very much for the opportunity that you have given to us to come together again tonight around your word. I thank you, Lord, for all of my brothers and sisters, everyone that is joining with us in real time and those that will listen to this teaching afterwards. I pray that the presence of the Holy Spirit might be here with us. Holy Spirit, you are the great teacher. I ask that you would teach us out of your word tonight. Give us illumination and understanding. Help us to be able to enjoy the depths of the revelation in your word. Give us grace. Grace, such uncommon grace like we have not experienced before. I thank you, Lord, for all of my brothers and sisters, all of their loved ones, members of their families. I pray your blessings upon them tonight. Everyone, I thank you, Father, for this precious word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you again for joining and welcome. This is the last service that I'm going to devote to this PowerPoint that I've called Asking. We've learned so much about it. And lately we've been talking about just the factors, learning about the factors that impact our asking. So many believers don't understand this. You know, people read, he just said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and, that's what the Lord said. But then there are things that impact our ability to receive when we ask. If that was not the case, everybody will be receiving just like that, when they ask. Even the Lord Jesus Christ himself, when he stood outside of the tomb of Lazarus and he prayed, he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me and you always hear me. That's what he said. You've heard me and you always hear me. Do you know how many people can say that? I mean, most of us can't. Still, he always hears us and he's already heard us. So apparently, this promise that we've seen in Isaiah 65 verse 24, where he says, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. That is a promise that exists for every child of God, but it's not a promise that every child of God is benefiting from. And since we know God is not a respecter of persons, there must be something about what some of us are doing and what some of us are not doing that is making that difference. Well, our desire through all of this series of teachings, we've endeavored to move closer and closer and closer to the realization of this promise in our own individual lives. We want to be one of those people that the Lord is talking about right here, that when he said, before you call, I will answer. And while you are still speaking, I will hear. We have already identified two of the three powerful factors that I said we will share and we will learn together. The first one is your gifts, your sacrifices, your offerings. As strange as that sounds, what does asking have to do with giving and offerings and sacrificial? A lot. We've read it. We've studied it. And we give maybe about two services to that, including some part of last week's service. So I beg you, please, if you miss those, please, we have these messages, they're available. Please get them, listen to them, please. So that way you have a great foundation to be able to build upon. And then we studied the second powerful factor that impacts our giving, our asking and receiving, the factor that we called faithfulness. And we saw this last week. Our faithfulness determines how much of what we ask we actually receive. Because we are faithful, the Bible says God remembers us. Like that angel said to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, said, your prayers, your almsgiving have risen up to God, and the Lord remembers you. They have risen up as a memorial before God. Like God, the Amplifier said, God has remembered you. Hallelujah. I pray for you. The Lord will remember you. He'll remember your consistency, your regularity, your consistently doing what he's called you to do. Your faithfulness to God, your faithfulness to his word, your faithfulness to his assignment on your life. And that the Lord will remember you. That woman, Lydia, we read that in Acts chapter 16, she said unto Paul, I'm making this request of you. If you judge me faithful, grant me my request. She used that condition. If you judge me faithful. And Paul said, okay, I judge you faithful. He had seen she was faithful. She was one of the regulars. And she was one of the regulars for a long time. We learned last week, faithfulness is test. The test of faithfulness is over a period of time. Is demonstrated over time. We can't get up in the middle of something we're doing and say, I've been faithful, I am faithful. No, we are faithful. And yes, we can say, yeah, I've been faithful doing it. But really the test, ultimate test of if we were faithful doing that assignment is we look back at the end of it and we go, yeah, I was faithful. Like we read about Elisha and Elijah last week. When Gilgal, the prophet said to him, I think you should leave because I'm going over to Bethel. He said, no, I'm not going to leave you. Went with him. They went Bethel. He said, I think you should leave because I think I'm going over to the Jordan. He said, no, I'm never going to leave you. Or to Jericho, I'm never going to leave you. Until they got to the Jordan, they crossed the Jordan. And finally he said, okay, you've been faithful. Tell me what do you want? Ask me anything. That's what he get. Ask me based on his faithfulness. His ability to ask and receive was tied to his faithfulness. That's so powerful. Well, tonight, the Lord is going to help us. And we are going to take the last one of these factors that impact our giving. Sorry, our receiving. Hallelujah. Giving is on my mind. Hallelujah. I guess I'm a giver. I love to give. I enjoy giving. I do, absolutely. It's one of my favorite things to do is to give. I do love to give. No strings attached whatsoever. Just give and bless and love and bless and expect that the Lord himself will keep replenishing and keep blessing with the blessings of open heavens and overflow. So I give because I love, but I give with expectation to receive back as well. Amen. All right. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us not, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and he knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. This confidence towards God is so important, is so crucial. It says in verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because one, we keep his commandments, and two, we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Of course, ahead of those two, he had talked about loving indeed, not loving just in word, but walking in supernatural love and agape love, that is practical love. He talked about that. Then he talked about obeying his commandments. He talked about our hearts being assured. He talked about walking in truth. All of these things are very, very important. But tonight, I want us to consider this general factor. And I'm going to title this part of it, this last part of it, clear the ground and clean your heart. Clear the ground and clean your heart. This factor of a clean heart. This factor of a clean heart, a clear ground, a clean heart, impacts our asking and our being able to receive. And we're going to go through a number of scriptures. I'm going to jump from one place to the other, go as I feel the liberty of the Spirit and end somewhere. But when I get done, just about every different little thing that I think are like the most important sub components of this clean heart would have been thrown in there. A clean heart is essential to have a right standing to ask. We've talked about your giving, your sacrificial offering, your gifts, your sacrifices, your vows. We've talked about faithfulness. A clean heart is the third and one of the third most important factor that impacts our receiving answers to our prayers. A clean heart. Let's start out and look at a few scriptures. Let's look at Psalm 66, verse 13 to 20. I don't know that I want to read the whole thing because of time, but we're going to read the most relevant scripture there. Psalm 66. Let us read Sorry, did I say? Psalm 66. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Psalm 66. Yeah, we should read a few of those verses because I think a lot of them are relevant. I just don't know if I can. Let's see how the Lord leads us here. Psalm 66, let's read from verse 13, right? Verse 13. It says in verse 13, Psalm 66, I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows. We've just been talking a lot about that. Two services ago, three services ago. I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows. So the Lord is bringing it up in so many different ways. It is very important, that's why. Let's keep reading here. Verse 14. Which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. Verse 15. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats. Selah. He's talking about this, our giving. Verse 16. Come and hear, all that fear God, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. Verse 17, I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. Pay attention to verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Then he said in verse 19, but verily God has heard me. Why? Because he did not regard iniquity in his heart. But verily God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Hallelujah. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. There are blessing blockers. And these blessing blockers impact our asking and receiving. We can obey all the principles of asking, articulating our request, presenting it confidently, having expectation of a favorable response. Excuse me. We can do everything right. We can fulfill. But if we regard iniquity in our heart, if we hide sin in our heart, and we allow sin to take residence in our heart, the Lord will not hear. Sin is a blessing blocker. We might as well say right here, right now, sin is a prayer blocker. Hallelujah. Sin is a prayer blocker. It's a blessing blocker and is a prayer blocker. Sin will stop prayers, our prayers and our asks. He said, the Lord won't hear me. The Lord won't hear me. Then he said, he has heard, verily God has heard, he has attended to the voice of my, but if there is iniquity there, the Lord will not hear us and he will not attend to the voice of our prayers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If there's iniquity, if there's sin hiding, so we call it a clean ground, a clear ground, a clean heart. Clear the ground, clean the heart. In prayer, that is, let's always do due diligence before we ask. Make sure there are not all these thistles and thorns, weeds, that are choking the life of the grace of God within our spirit, within our heart, stopping our prayers from rising to the Lord. This is so crucial. This is so important. And I'm going to identify three major sins that are blessing blockers and prayer blockers. In the place of prayer, these are three major sins I will constantly make sure are checked out. Make sure they are not hiding. They are not there. So that they don't create an obstruction to our prayer. And you know, it's so easy in our new covenant with the Lord. It's so easy to clear that ground. It's so easy to clean that heart. We don't have to jump through many hoops. We don't have to, you know, sleep all night on the altar, rolling on shattered glass, getting caught and bleeding so that God can know we're truly penitent. No, Jesus already paid that price. It's very easy because of our new covenant with God. If there is sin there, it's very easy to clear it off. Very easy. All it takes is just repent. Repent. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, this is what Peter said in his sermon to the people after the Holy Spirit was poured out. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Look at what he said. Repent ye therefore and be converted. Repent. If there's sin, if there's iniquity, repent. And be converted that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing can come from the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. So that times of refreshing can come from the presence of the Lord. Just repent and be converted. It's very easy. And John tells us, listen to how he puts it, very easy. So there is no reason to harbor sin. There is no reason to allow iniquity hide and then be an obstruction, an obtrusive force to the grace of God in our lives, the blessings of heaven, answers to prayers that God wants to give. Just get rid of it. Clean the ground. Clear the ground. Clean the heart. Listen to what John said. He said, if we have 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, when we do, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. You can count on him to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess, if we repent, if we confess, we come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Yeah, that sin is there. I did that. That was wrong. Lord, please forgive me. I repent. I confess it to you. I renounce it. I separate myself from it. I walk away from it. I turn the page. I receive your forgiveness. The Bible says you are faithful. It's done. It's done. He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He said, if we say we have not sinned, when we have, then we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Then, in 1 John chapter 2 from verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. See, Jesus is there, he's right there, on the right-hand side of the Father, interceding for us. He's our advocate. So if there is sin, get rid of it. Amen. It's very easy. Look at it, Isaiah 59, verses 1, 2, and 12. If there is sin, though, sin will stop the blessing. Sin will stop what God wants to do in our lives. Sin will stop us from receiving answers to our prayers. If I regard iniquity, says, the Lord will not hear me. Sin is an obstruction to our prayers. It's a contrary force to the blessings that God wants to give us. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2 and 12. Behold, it says, verse 1, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. God does not have ear problems. Like you say, let's put eardrops, maybe God can hear better. No, God has no problems. God's ears and hear clearly. However, sin limits the sound and the voice of our prayers from rising up to the Lord. Sin hinders the ability of our prayers, our expressions, to rise to God. He said his hands are not shortened that they cannot save. His ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. Verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you that he will not hear. Sin is a blocker. Sin is a stranger that limits the ability of our prayers to rise up to the Lord. If I regard iniquity, God will not hear me, he said. He won't hear. God won't hear. So what do we do? Clear the ground, clean the heart. Get rid of that sin. Present it to the Lord. He's faithful. The Bible says he's just. Don't hide it in there and say, well, I'll deal with it later. No, don't do that. Because your dealing with it later stops you from receiving answers. In fact, in the New Testament, in that scripture, in the Gospels, the Lord Jesus Christ did say, talk about if you go to the altar to pray and you remember something you have against. He said, leave your sacrifice there and go and sort it out. And then come. Don't say, I'll sort it out after I give. No, because that is a waste. Prayer is a waste when sin is harbored. Prayer is a waste when sin is harbored in the heart. It's a total waste. We are better off saving our energy, getting rid of that sin, before bringing our prayers to the Lord. Say, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I hide sin in my heart, he won't hear me. If I harbor sin, he will not hear me. No matter who, whether it's an apostle, whether it's a prophet, whether it's a preacher, whether it's a pastor, whether it's an usher, whether it's a prayer warrior, whether you are a giver, you are a singer, you are whatever you are. If you harbor sin, God won't hear you. This one applies to every believer. If we harbor sin, he won't hear us. Sin is a blessing blocker. I want you to look at this, a couple of these scriptures, and this one, this particular one right here, I think I'm going to read from a couple of different versions. Let's read Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 23 to 25. Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 23 to 25. I think I'm going to read this a bit from maybe two or so other versions. I'm going to have to go there to my iPad to help me with that. Jeremiah chapter 5, look at it. Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 23 to 25. Jeremiah chapter 5, look at it. It said, but these people have a revolting and a rebellious heart. This is the Lord speaking. He's talking about his people. So we're talking about what impacts our asking. We can learn all the right ways to ask. But if our hearts are not right, if they are not clean, we don't receive. We don't receive from the Lord. But if our hearts are clean, like we were told in 1 John chapter 3, then there's confidence. Confidence. If our heart condemn us not. If our heart condemn us, but we have made it right, but we still have some condemnation because of the residual effect of the sin. He said, God is greater than our heart. Don't worry about it. He said, but if our heart condemn us not, that is, we have totally dislodged the sin itself and all the effects of the sin. Then we have great confidence. We have great confidence before God. And he says, what we know, whatsoever we ask of him, anything we ask of him, we know we receive. Because we obey his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. It's 1 John chapter 3, 18 to 22. We read this earlier. Amen. So, asking is impacted by the state of our heart. Listen, Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 23. But these people have a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Verse 24, neither say they in their heart, this is in their heart, because God is reading the messages in their heart. Their lips are saying something, but God is reading the messages in their heart. God is the God of the heart. He can see that heart like you are watching television. God can see it clearly. Hallelujah. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. They don't say that. So all these blessings are going to come from the Lord. All these blessings, the good blessings. He gives us the rain, the former rain, the latter rain. He reserves unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. He sees to it that our harvests are released to us. They don't acknowledge that in their heart so that they deal with the sin that is stopping them from enjoying the blessing of God. That's what the Lord is saying. Verse 25, he said, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholding good things from you. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholding good things from you. So, if we pray, if we ask, articulate our requests, present it confidently, have expectation of a favorable response, but then there is iniquity, our hearts are not clean, the ground is not clear, the Bible says these iniquities stop the answers to our prayers. They stop the blessing. The Amplifier says, your iniquities have turned these blessings away. Think about that. We are supposed to be abounding in blessings as God's righteous and faithful people. But he says, your iniquities have turned these blessings away. And I don't want you to think about this in terms of, oh, I'm not a sinner, I'm a Christian. He's talking to godly people. He's talking to righteous people. 1 John chapter 3, 18 to 22 that we read was talking to righteous people. It was a letter written to believers. So I don't want you to be thinking in terms of, oh, yeah, you know, I already gave my life to God. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about hiding sin, iniquity in our heart. And I want to encourage you, let me say that right here. I want to challenge you, child of God. Please, watch out for every sin, but please, watch out especially for the sin of disobedience, the sin of strife, and the sin of unforgiveness. If I ever came to a place in my life where I knew sin was an obstruction to God hearing me, the sin I'm harboring, usually, these are the first three major sins I go to look for. Because they are the most treacherous. They are the ones that can hide the most, and they are the most deceptive. The sin of disobedience. Not obeying the instructions of the Lord in any area of our lives. Not obeying the love commandment. Not obeying the different instructions that we've received from the Lord directly concerning our lives. The sin of disobedience. Or the sin of strife. Strife in our relationships. Conflict. Conflict. Division. Fighting, clamoring. Strife and unforgiveness. And you see two of them, I'm probably going to focus a little bit more on in the little time that I have left tonight. The third one, we're coming up to it in our next PowerPoint, so I'm not going to deal with it at all. But listen to what he said. These people have a revolting and rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth us rain, both the former and the latter in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things. Your sins have withholding good things from you. The Amplified Bible says, your iniquities have turned these blessings away, and your sins have kept good harvests from you. Sin is a blessing blocker. It's a prayer blocker. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to read this from both the Jubilee and the CEV. See if I can find it here. It's Jeremiah 5:23-25. I'm just going to stick with verse 25, really. Just verse 25. Look at it. The CEV says, that's why I cannot bless you. That's what it says. That's why I cannot bless you. You stubborn people have rebelled and turned your backs on me, he said. You refuse to say, let's worship the Lord. He's the one who sends rain in spring and autumn and gives us a good harvest. That's why I cannot bless you. So no matter how much we pray, no matter how many times, how many formally, no matter how many scriptures we quote, you say, I cannot bless you. Sin is a prayer stopper, is a blessing blocker. Sin is a prayer stopper and a blessing blocker. Sin is a prayer stopper and a blessing blocker. Hallelujah. Look at the Jubilee translation. These people have a false and rebellious heart. They turned and went. Neither do they say in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that gives rain, both the former and the latter, in its season. He shall keep us with the appointed weeks of the harvest. Verse 5, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withheld good things from you. Well, that's not us, praise God, because we walk in righteousness. And we know how to run to the Lord, how to get rid of sin. We know how to do that. We know how to clear the ground and how to clean our hearts. We know how to repent and to be converted. We know how to confess and to turn away from our sin. And so we know sin will not be a prayer stopper for us. Sin will not be a blessing blocker for us. Amen? Can you say amen to that? Say that, make that confession. Sin will not be a prayer stopper for me. Sin will not be a blessing blocker for me, because I know how, in the name of Jesus, to repent, to confess, to clear the ground, to clean my heart, and to get right with the Lord. Amen. Amen. And because we know that, hey, the Bible says in 1 John 3, we have confidence. And whatsoever we ask, we know we receive from him. Because we obey his commandment, and because we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Hallelujah. I want to enjoin you again. Watch out especially for the sin of disobedience. Watch out for that sin of disobedience, the sin of strife, and the sin of unforgiveness. Watch out especially, not here to list how many sins, all the sins, possible sins, that can seek to hide in our lives. But I'm telling you, watch out especially for the sin of disobedience. Don't be stubborn. Don't make excuses. When the Lord brings it to your attention, deal with it and move on. Move on. Don't try to dance around it. Don't try and get professional with it and try to couch it in in professional verbiage. No, it's sin. If it's sin, it's sin. Get rid of it. It doesn't stay on you. It's not a part of your resume. If you get rid of it, get rid of it. Disobedience. That is not obeying what the Lord says to you directly or what he says to you through his vessels. Watch out. I've said this over and over and over and over. I can't even count. And I'm sure, you know, if you listen to messages and teachings and ministries here in Abundant Life, you've heard this before. People sometimes want to talk about how stubborn they are, like they are stubborn. Stubbornness is not a virtue. There is no scripture anywhere that says the Lord will bless you more because you are stubborn. Yeah, his eyes are looking for stubborn people so he can open the heavens over them. There's no such scripture. There's no. I don't know why people think stubbornness is a badge of honor. I'm just hard. Somebody told me several years ago, I'm just pastor, I'm just hard-headed. Well, you know what? Do something with that head. Break it. Do something. Crush it. Do something. I'm just hard. No, there's no room for that. There's no room for that. Watch out for that sin of disobedience. Either disobedience or being slow to obey. Delayed obedience. Sometimes people say, I'm not outright disobedient. I just took my time. Watch out for that taking your time. Delayed obedience is bad. It's just as bad as outright disobedience. Being prompt to obey is a blessing. It's a virtue. Hallelujah. Watch out. Look at Job 36, verse 11. You know the scripture. I'm sure many of you do. Job 36, verse 11. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Job 36, verse 11. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. It's automatic. You don't even have to ask for it. Lord, prosper me. Lord, make my life pleasurable. Make my life sweet. No, if you are living in obedience, he says it's automatic for you. You won't even have to ask. It's one of those things listed under Isaiah 65, 24. You won't even, before you ask for it, before you call, the Lord will give it to you. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Look at Isaiah chapter 1, verses 18 to 19, real quickly. I know I'm pressed for time now. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I walk in obedience. I walk in obedience, therefore my life is blessed. In the name of Jesus, I eat the good of the land. I live my years in prosperity and my days in pleasure because I obey and I serve him. Amen. Me too. Me too. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Verse 19. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. You shall eat. It's automatic. And people pray, God, help me eat the good of the land. God, please, God. No, he said, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. You will. It's automatic. And if it's not happening, then you don't beg God. You command. You take authority. It's a spiritual jurisdiction. You speak. You use the power of attorney in the name of Jesus. And the things that are stopping and limiting you from eating the good of the land, you address them. You make sure you check these other areas. You are faithful. You are giving. You are sacrificial. You know, and doing all of that. take care of all of that. If you are willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Watch out for that sin of disobedience. Delayed obedience, outright disobedience, stubbornness. Get rid of it. Sometimes the flesh, it's very easy for the flesh to want to be stubborn, to want to have his way. Yeah, I do it my way. I'm not going to listen to anybody. There's nobody in the body of Christ that has grounds to do that. Nobody. And if we do, the serpent will bite us. We're out there in a zone where we are not protected at all. We're not protected at all. Say, yeah, just, you know, well, yeah, if God tells me directly, then I'll do it. But if it's just people, yeah, God speaks through people sometimes. Sometimes your obedience is tried and tested and proven by what you do with what people say to you. Oh, well, if the Lord, I hear God, it's me and Jesus. He said, there's no such thing. There's nobody who is an island to himself. And if you are, the serpent will bite you. If you know any such person, carries themselves like, yeah, my own, you know, unless I hear it from the Lord, you know, it's only it's me and the Lord, we have something. Yeah, you and the Lord have something, but you are still a part of the body of Christ. And if you know anyone like that, I'm just, yeah, if the Lord tells me, yeah, I'll do, but if it's people, no, I know way more. That's pride. Pride. Pride comes before a fall. God can speak through a donkey. We should train ourselves to listen anyway. Amen. Hallelujah. Why are we going through all of this tonight? Clear the ground, clear the ground. We don't want anything getting in the way of our asking and our receiving. Clear the ground, clean the heart. No disobedience. No delayed obedience. No partial obedience. Partial obedience is just as bad as complete disobedience. Partial obedience. God says, go and do this, clear out the entire nation. You go there, you clear the nation, but you keep some of the things you consider are precious. You use your mind. You say, well, God couldn't mean, he could, no. If he said, God, clear the whole, that's what he said. That's what it meant. No partial disobedience. God said, go all the way, apologize. That's it. That's what he meant. If God said, go give it, that's what he meant. That's what he said. If God said, become faithful, be regular, be consistent, that's what he meant. That's what he said. Don't say, I'll try it a little bit, I'll see. No. My time is going here. Watch out for that sin of disobedience, strife, and unforgiveness. Like I said, my time is almost up here tonight. Go with me to James. I gotta just talk a little bit about this strife here. James chapter 3, let's read from verse 11. Gotta talk a little bit about strife, just a little bit. Strife, contention is a blessing blocker. It's a blessing blocker. It will stop us from receiving. Gotta get rid of strife. No animosity, no hard feelings, no grief, no weird attitude and beliefs and behaviors with anyone at all. James chapter 3. Let's read from verse 11 real quick. I got one more scripture I got to read here. Strive, get rid of it. Verse 11, does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, can the fig tree bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man, woman, and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. Don't lie against the truth. Don't lie against the truth. Sometimes people even couch this strife in God's name. You say they are fighting God's war, fighting God's battle. He doesn't need us to do that. Don't lie against the truth. Strife will cut you short. It will cut your blessing short. It will cut it short. Before it gets to you, it will dissipate it. It's like a basket. You pour water in a basket, you lose it all. You can't hold that water in that basket. That's what strife does. Strife pokes holes in our vessels. So we can't hold the blessings of God. That's what strife does. Watch it. Everywhere there is strife, the blessings will come. Strife is a blessing blocker, but not in the sense that it stops the blessing from coming in your direction. But what it does is it pokes holes in your life. Because, you know, strife comes and goes. It comes and goes. And there are blessings we receive when strife is gone. We receive them, but then it comes and we let it stay and it pokes holes. And all those blessings, things that ground you have gained for years. My time is almost gone here. Just lose them because of strife. Don't lie against the truth. He said, this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Don't allow it. No strife, no confusion, no evil work. Watch it. Wherever there is envy and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. Confusion and every evil work, wherever there is strife. I don't care how talented somebody is. I don't care how skillful they are. I don't care how much they have. If they are vessels of strife, confusion will follow them. Confusion will follow. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Say with me, I have no strife. There's no room for strife in my life. I walk in love, in the love of God, the agape, unconditional love of God. I walk in love. I walk in godly, divine wisdom in my life. I do not lie against the truth. I don't harbor strife and bitterness in my heart. I love my fellow man. I love my neighbor like myself. In the name of Jesus, I do good to everyone. I bless even my enemies in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's close out in Genesis. I don't have too much time left. Maybe I have just about 5 minutes to close, but let's see how many of these scriptures, verses we can read in Genesis chapter 13. With Abraham and his nephew Lot. I'll never forget this. Let me say this to you as I read this scripture and get ready to close this. Don't lie against the truth. When you have strife in your heart, strife in your life, you are lying against the truth. You will lie against the truth. You'll be self-deceived. You think God is working for you and He's not. You think God is looking out for you and He's not. You think God is protecting you and He's not. You're lying against the truth. Not you. I mean, whoever is doing it is. I know everyone that is online with me tonight, if you are not into stuff like that. This, you and I, we're in a good, righteous place. Amen, amen, amen. We're not perfect, but we're walking towards it. Glory to God. So when I keep saying you are not, it's not you, not you who's listening to me tonight, but somebody you might know. Hallelujah. I'll never forget it. Years ago, way back, very earlier on in our ministry, somewhere around 2003, we used to do this mission to East Cleveland. It was one of our big missions. We've always been into missions, always. You know, we would get clothes and get food and, you know, pack it and get. We used to have this old van back then, old church van. We would load everything up in that van. We'd take them to East Cleveland, where a lot of people who were just disadvantaged, who needed these things. And, some of it sometimes worked very well. Sometimes it didn't work that well. Sometimes people came and received. Sometimes they didn't. You know, but it was such a big part of our ministry, and we were really excited about it, and we really wanted to expand it. And we came to a point where there were some things we needed to do to expand it, and we just needed some skillful, talented person to help us do certain things. And there was this particular person who was so skillful, was so talented, and it was like we should just get this person to begin to do these and these things this person would do, how to do, not just within the ministry, but how to do things outer with some organizations and also within the ministry as well. And we were so excited about it, we were thinking about it, and I needed to make that final decision. I went to pray about it. And this is what the Lord said to me. The Lord said to me, don't do it. He says, don't partner with her or she will tear the entire ministry apart, is what the Lord said. I did not totally understand it, but I could see evidences of minor strife. And it took a few years, but I could see it didn't take very long. With all so much confusion, to the point where you never could now even remember the giftings and talents that that person had. Strife had destroyed it all. Strife destroyed it all. That when you thought about that person, you didn't think anymore. You didn't remember those great gifts and talents. The only thing you could immediately remember were the effects of strife. Get rid of it. Abraham, when they came together, he and his brother Lot, they had so much between them. Abraham in Genesis 13, verse 8, said unto his brother Lot, let there be no strife, I pray you, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and your herdmen, for we be brethren. It's not the whole land before you. Separate yourself. Separate yourself, I pray you, from me. And I will take, if you take the left hand, I will take the right. If you take the right, I will take the left. Yeah, and you can read the rest of that story. I've got to close tonight. Separate yourself. Separate yourself from strife. Separate yourself from everything that is not harmonious. If there's no harmony in it, get rid of it. If there is no togetherness and no joy and no peace, get rid of it. Get rid of it. And walk in peace and walk in wholeness, walk in harmony, in love. And the blessings of heaven will be rained upon your life. Father, we thank you so very much. We give you glory and praise. We honor you. Thank you, God, for your mighty presence in this service, for being with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for everything you've imparted to us. We receive it with humility of heart. We give you all the glory and all the praise for your word that is being fulfilled in all of our lives. Thank you. I speak the blessings of heaven upon all of my brothers and sisters and all of their loved ones. I give you the glory and the praise for every single one of them. Thank you for perfecting all that concerns their lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.